Christ, peace to you in this new year. This past Saturday, one of my favorite gospel passages was the reading. It's from John, the first chapter, John 1, verses 35 to 42. I'd really encourage anybody who's hearing this homily to go and spend some time with that passage. It's just a masterpiece. This is John's recounting of the calling of the first two disciples, Andrew, who is named, and then, according to ancient tradition of the church, John the Apostle himself, who does not name himself. Like everything with the Gospel of John, so much is packed into these verses. So spend some time and go back and pray with this passage. I think you'll find some very, very good fruit. Within it, as with many Johannine passages, there is contained a spiritual itinerary, one that I think is profoundly important for us today. So I'd like to highlight in this passage what I think are three essential stages for coming to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Three stages: repentance, responsiveness, and reaching out to others. Repentance, responsiveness, and reaching out to others. First, repentance. It's not explicitly named in the passage, yet it's certainly present, because these men, who Jesus calls John and Andrew, are named as disciples of John the Baptist. John, as the passage recounts, was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." These men, John and Andrew, they are engaged and alive in the spiritual life. They're not simply waiting for something to happen, but rather they have heard the message of John the Baptist. They are with him. They are his disciples. Disciple, of course, is simply a Greek word that means follower. So they're following John the Baptist, and more importantly, following his message. And in that following, they become alive in the spiritual life. How so? By heeding the main message of the Baptist. Repent. Repent. Repentance, friends, is a word we often don't like to hear because it challenges us out of our self-complacency. It challenges us to be the people we know we are called to be. But if it's a word we don't like to hear, repentance is certainly a reality that is absolutely crucial to becoming a disciple. Look, if I'm fine and you're fine and everyone is fine, then there is absolutely no need for Jesus. There is no need for one whose name means God is salvation. Yahweh saves, Yeshua. There is no need for a savior. There is no need for mercy. There is no need for us to change. But friends, if we have even an ounce of honesty, we all know we are not fine. Everyone knows that. That's why our culture goes to such great lengths to distract us from the reality that we are not fine, that everything is not okay, and that we need someone who can save us. Jesus knows that too. In fact, in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the first word out of his mouth as he begins his public ministry is repent. So we need to repent. That is why John and Andrew are with John the Baptist. They are acutely aware of their need for grace, their need for a Savior. And the effect of that awareness is this: their repentance makes them responsive. Let me say that again. Their repentance makes them responsive. See, authentic repentance in the Christian life always makes us responsive. We become more responsive to grace. And so when John the Baptist points out Jesus as he says those great words, "Behold the Lamb of God," we hear in the passage this phrase: the disciples heard what he said and followed Jesus. They move They leave the Baptist behind and they begin pursuing Jesus. That's the whole point of repentance. It's not to wallow in our sins. It's not to hang our heads in shame. Our repentance is meant to move us so that we pursue Jesus Christ, that we begin to follow him. And then the encounter happens. Jesus turned and saw them following him. And he said to them, "What are you looking for?" Now, there is so much here. Jesus turned and saw them. He saw them. This isn't just a flippant glance. This isn't a simple awareness of their presence. This is the one who created the heavens and the earth, who holds all things in existence. He sees John and Andrew. He knows them. He knows them and he knows who they will become. He knows everything about them. And you got to think that he was excited for this moment. He is beginning his ministry and calling the men who will become the foundation of the church, which will be the instrument of salvation in the world. Jesus sees them. But watch now. Though he knows everything about them, he asks them a question. What are you looking for? What a beautiful approach. See, God always appeals to the desires of the human heart. He doesn't force anything. He doesn't compel anyone, but rather he appeals. He doesn't impose himself. Rather, he proposes a new way of being. It's an invitation. What are you looking for? Friends, that's a great question to ask ourselves at this new year. What are you looking for? What are you really looking for? Not the distractions that our world offers us, and not the superficialities that leave us comfortable and complacent. What are you really looking for? What's the deepest desire of your heart? And watch now, since John and Andrew have been set aright by repentance, they respond beautifully and simply. "Master, where are you staying?" You see, they just want to be with Jesus. They want to be close to him, to stay with him. A theme that comes up over and over in John's gospel, to abide with him, to remain with him. They recognize in Jesus the one who they have always been longing for. And because their hearts are clear, their desire is uncomplicated. And so their question back to Jesus, "Where are you staying?" is met with another beautiful response from our Lord. "Come and you will see. Come and you will see." Once again, I think it's worth imagining the desire of the Lord's heart in this. Come, come. It's a joyful invitation. It's an urgent one. "You will see. I want to show you who I am. I want to show you where I abide." Come in the Greek is a powerful word, actually. It's a present imperative active sense. The tense of that verb, present imperative active. Come right now. There's an urgency to this. The invitation is not one to be cast aside. There's an urgency, even an intensity to it. Come right now. "You will see," obviously a future tense. "Come now and you will see." Urgency and unfolding. That is how discipleship works. We're invited right now, right now. And then things will unfold before us. John and Andrew have no idea what they're saying yes to and how entirely this will change our lives. But they move. They are free to move, and they are free to risk. It's a good question to ask ourselves. Are we so free? Are we so willing to risk? Are we so courageous as these two men? One of my great heroes in the spiritual life is Father Chris Hellstrom. He's a priest of Denver. And he gave a line at a conference one time that I've always remembered. He said, following Jesus from a safe distance is neither following him nor is it safe. Are we following Jesus from a safe distance? Or rather, are we heeding the urgency of the call to come and to trust that we will see what will happen to us as the Lord unfolds his plan for our lives? Finally, friends, the last stage. Reaching out to others. Set right by repentance, responding to the invitation of Jesus to be with him, John and Andrew then reach out to others. Significant here is the person of Andrew. He doesn't keep his encounter with Jesus to himself. Rather, he goes and grabs his brother Simon, and he says bluntly, "We have found the Messiah." And the next line, "Then he brought him to Jesus." You see, once you meet Jesus, you can't keep him to yourself. You can't contain that encounter, but rather, if you've really met the Lord, you have to bring others to him. You want to bring others to him. And there's an energy and an urgency in your heart that compels you to do so. And Andrew does. Simon comes with him. He meets Jesus. And he receives a new name, Cephas, which is translated Peter. And for all of us Catholics who are listening to this, we know how hugely significant that man Peter will be and is. But see how simple it all is. Andrew, set right by repentance, responds joyfully to Jesus and stays with him. And then after that encounter, he goes and tells his brother what has happened to him. And Simon comes, and then he meets Jesus. And his life is changed. And then the whole world is changed. Friends, as this new year begins, may we learn from the example of John and Andrew. May we repent of what keeps us bound up and enslaved to sin. May we respond to Jesus as he appeals to our hearts. And may we reach out to others to share the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen.